Hello, this is your Polycast for Wednesday, May 20th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Governor Dayton follows through on an education veto threat, and the legislature doesn't do anything for the owners of the new soccer franchise. Governor Dayton says he has vetoed a bill that funds education and that he will call lawmakers back for a special session. Dayton says the bill doesn't spend enough or include his key priority. The governor's veto means he'll have to engage in another round of negotiating to try to reach a deal he wasn't able to get over the past 5 months. Tom Scheck has more.
Governor Dayton held an afternoon news conference to announce the veto even before he actually received the bill. Dayton said he's upset the Republican-controlled House would not agree to spend between $125 and $150 million more on education, especially when they left $1 billion unspent for possible tax cuts and transportation spending next year.
It's astonishing that with a $1.9 billion projected surplus and still more than $1 billion left on the bottom line for future tax cuts, there would not be more invested in our schools this year.
The bill passed by the legislature increased spending for education by $400 million over the next 2 years, with most of it going to per-pupil funding. It also included $60 million for early education, although not for universal preschool. For the past week, Dayton had intensely lobbied House Republicans and Senate Democrats to add spending for his universal pre-kindergarten plan for four-year-olds. In the final hours of the session, Dayton said he offered to sign all of the other budget bills, and even to drop the pre-K plan. In exchange, he wanted Republicans to agree to spend $125 million more on other education items. He said Republicans rejected both offers.
I realize that, you know, they hate the public schools, some of them, the Republican legislators, and that they're loath to, you know, provide any additional money for public schools and for public school teachers, because all the good programs I've seen around this state for pre-K and for all-day kindergarten, all those good programs, you know, contradict what they say, which is the public schools do everything badly.
Dayton said his previous budget offers are now off the table, and he intends to push for even more school funding. But he wouldn't say if he'll insist universal pre-K be a part of the final deal. Dayton also isn't committing to signing the other budget bills. He said he'll spend the rest of the week reading them and then decide. At that point, Dayton said he's willing to sit down with legislative leaders to discuss a framework for a special session. But those negotiations could prove difficult. They have failed to compromise on a budget plan over 5 months and now have just 6 weeks before the new fiscal year begins. Dayton said he hopes the pressure of a shutdown of the education department and some state-funded schools will force everyone to compromise. Republican House Speaker Kurt Dowd said Dayton needs to find more support among legislators and the public for his program.
I think it really is incumbent upon the governor to work with legislators and to reach out to them and to sell his plan to them if he thinks we need to do something differently than what we passed.
Dowd and DFL Senate Majority Leader Tom Bach were encouraging Dayton to sign the budget bill because of the money it provided for schools. Dowd also stressed it was a bipartisan agreement between his caucus and Senate Democrats. Dayton, however, said he wasn't a part of that deal. Senator Bach says he's not going to be involved in the negotiations with House Republicans for a special session. He said he'll deliver the votes for Dayton's plan unless the governor agrees to a Republican demand for a massive tax cut.
I've just spent 2 weeks negotiating with them, and they will not vote for four-year-olds in a kind of in a regimented school setting. My experience with them is they're not going to do it. So, you know, I wish the governor luck in finding some kind of a compromise there that delivers money for early childhood spending.
Dayton says he won't call a special session until he reaches a deal with legislative leaders. But one complicating factor involves the location. Tuesday morning, work crews were removing the desks, seats, and artwork from the House chamber as they began the next phase of the Capitol renovation. The work means the House and Senate chambers will not be available for a special session. Dayton said his commissioners are looking at alternative sites, but he again suggested lawmakers rent a tent and hold the session on the Capitol lawn. Tom Scheck, Minnesota Public Radio News, at the Capitol.
The governor has signed a bill that bans four flame-retardant chemicals from children's products and upholstered furniture, Elizabeth Dunbar reports.
The ban doesn't take effect until July 2018. An earlier version sought to ban 10 flame-retardant chemicals, but industry lobbyists fought to pare down the list and delay implementation. Firefighters were the bill's primary supporters, arguing they were being exposed to more cancer-causing chemicals on the job. But industry officials say there's no proof the flame retardants are to blame for a spike in cancer cases among U.S. firefighters. The newly signed law also orders a study to give lawmakers more information about regulations of flame retardants in a variety of products, including carpeting and mattresses. Dayton's signature came after the measure received broad support in both the Republican-led House and DFL-led Senate. Elizabeth Dunbar, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Supporters of a proposed soccer stadium in Minneapolis are regrouping after the legislature declined to authorize tax breaks for the facility during the session. The setback leaves an uncertain future for Major League Soccer in Minnesota. But as Curtis Gilbert reports, the owner of the Minnesota United soccer team says he isn't giving up.
Team owner Bill McGuire is still hopeful he'll be able to build the stadium and win the property tax exemption he says he'll need to make it financially viable. But now that the legislature is adjourned, his path just got more difficult.
I consider it a setback for our state and our community that we had a whole lot of very important issues not resolved in this session, and so everybody's going to have to come together and get them done. This is just one of many.
In contrast to other Minnesota sports teams, Minnesota United isn't asking taxpayers to help cover its construction costs. McGuire and the other owners say they can come up with the $150 million to do that themselves. But they've asked for a sales tax exemption on the building materials. And, more significantly, they've asked state and local officials to waive property taxes. They argue that ongoing business expense could mean the difference between turning a profit and running a deficit. The proposed tax breaks for the stadium were never even formally introduced at the legislature. In fact, lawmakers took symbolic votes, signaling they wouldn't support any public money for the project. But McGuire plans to keep pushing.
I think there's still a special session to come. So, you know, our attitude is, you know, we'll continue to explore this and see if there's a way to make it happen.
The governor will be calling the legislature back into session at some point to settle a dispute over preschool funding, but it's unclear whether other issues will be allowed on the agenda. Minneapolis Mayor Betsy Hodges came out immediately and vehemently against property tax breaks for a soccer stadium. She said permanently waiving taxes for a privately owned building would be unprecedented. She also raised concerns that the stadium would divert summer concert events from the city-owned and subsidized Target Center. In spite of the mayor's opposition, many members of the city council are open to the idea of tax breaks for a soccer stadium. Jacob Fry is one of them. He's been negotiating with Minnesota United, and he says the team has already agreed to a variety of concessions.
We wanted a minority hiring agreement, community hiring, livable wages. We wanted the facility to be environmentally sustainable. And we wanted some termination or ending point as far as when the property tax exemption would finish. And for the most part, the ownership has agreed to all of those asks.
Fry stresses that while the proposal from the team has been sweetened, there's still no deal in place. And even if the city council agreed to something, it would still need the legislature to sign off.
Clearly, any proposal that would move forward would need some form of state authorization. And clearly, Minnesota United ownership don't have that right now. So the question now is, how do they move forward?
When team owners first unveiled the proposal, legislative leaders described it as modest and reasonable. But it lost momentum almost immediately. Councilmember Blong Yang says the team did a clumsy job selling its plan to lawmakers.
What they were asking for wasn't very detailed or clear to anybody who was reading it. And so, you know, it allowed for other people to talk about what they were asking for in terms of, you know, different language that, you know, made it seem awful. You know, and what they're asking for, I mean, you know, isn't anything that is extraordinary. I mean, frankly, you know, it was a fairly decent deal.
Yang notes that all the other major league stadiums in Minnesota are already exempt from property taxes because they're publicly owned. He also says the team's timeline for winning approval may have been overly ambitious. The team first presented its tax break proposal just 1 month ago, leaving little time for the legislature to process the request.
The Vikings went to the state legislature years and years and years and years before something happened. The Twins did pretty much the same thing. And so in a lot of ways, I mean, most people would just say, okay, you know, I mean, give it some time. I mean, this was fast-tracked really quickly.
But it's not clear how much time the team has. When Minnesota United won its bid to join Major League Soccer, the league said it expected the stadium plan to be finalized by July 1st. The team says that's not a firm deadline. The league hasn't returned calls seeking comment. Curtis Gilbert, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. I'm going to clear out for a couple days. I hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend, and I'll see you back again here on Tuesday.